Storm Ciara might be blowing itself out over the UK at the moment, and my job this morning is to bring a little storm through that preaching. So I'm going to try and preach up a little storm this morning, which hopefully will give us a fresh perspective on a very familiar and simple statement. And in doing so, I recognise that for many messages, the response can be at the end of the service to go to the speaker, particularly at the door, and say, lovely sermon or lovely message. Well, this particular message, I'm not sure that will be the right response. I'm hoping it's going to be an important message, a powerful message, but it might not necessarily be a nice one. So you can tell me afterwards what you think. But I'm also recognizing that what I'm going to bring is something that you already know. You already know what I'm going to be saying this morning. It is well and true by the fact that I've been around this place now for 2 years, in fact, 2 years to the day, and an opportunity to kind of be part of this church community. So I'm bringing a message that we already know in our heads and we already know through our actions, but sometimes even what we already know needs to be we need to be reminded of, in order to underline the significance of it. So that's the kind of the preamble to where we're going this morning. This evening, some of you will be glued to your tellies, not because it's Love Island on this occasion, but because it is the 92nd Academy Awards taking place in Hollywood. And so the Oscars are on the telly tonight. And they've got the red carpet back out from Cash Converters. They've been rolling it out, and they're kind of all ready to go. And there's people all dressed up in their fineries, jockeying for position, trying to work out who's going to be the winners this particular year. And you can imagine the tension, the egos, the emotion, the cushions. The cushions. You know, the very first Academy Awards, the Oscars, took place, and the whole thing lasted a sum total of, wait for it, 15 minutes. By 2002, it had grown to lasting 4 hours and 23 minutes. Now, if you've ever been to an awards ceremony, either because you were collecting your award or because you've been to watch somebody else collect an award, you know how long those ceremonies can be. And they may only be like an hour or so, but this is 4 hours, 23 minutes, not including the ad breaks. Oh my goodness. And so, ladies and gentlemen, the nominees for the best film movie of the year are Ford v Ferrari, The Irishman, Jojo Rabbit, Joker, Little Women, Marriage Story, 1917, Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, Parasite. And yes, ladies and gentlemen, the 92nd Academy Award for the best movie goes to Cats. Well, you ain't going to hear that this evening. It's just won an award, I think, for the most ludicrous of all films, the worst film of the year, I think Cats got this time. So we'll see what happens this evening. And you may have seen some of those films already and have an idea of which film you think should be the winner. But have you noticed how when it comes to honour, we have a kind of an unusual set way of displaying honour. So sometimes we honour people in reverse order. It might be inventors, so we have a special day for people that have invented something. Next up, we might have a special day for veterans, those who served in the military. Above them, heroes, people that have done extraordinary things, acts of courage in split seconds in order to save others. Above them, we elevate with sports personalities and what they do for a few minutes on a sports field. Above them, we've got actors, and we'll hear more about them this evening with the Academy Awards. And then way, way above them, we have got, of course, celebrities. People that have done nothing, have very little talent, but for whatever reason have been given the label of celebrity, and so they are worthy of double honour. And when the awards come out twice a year for the Queen's Honours, are you the one that scours through four pages of thousands of names to see who's on there, who you might know, wondering why they got the honour? Maybe they got the honour simply because they hadn't been found out, or they got the honour because they hadn't yet been fired, and so that qualified them to have that particular honour. And yet the reading we've just had that Anne brought to us from Romans chapter 12, verse 10, says this: love one another warmly as Christians and be eager to show respect for one another. Well, that's the Good News translation, and sometimes the Good News translations is helpful. Sometimes it's just a little bit kind of blunt and sort of slightly out of focus in its language. So we could try the New International Version, which says, be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourselves. Now, that's a challenge. We as a church are committed to being a growing community, and as we are going through this month of one another passages, there are 50 plus one another passages in the New Testament where the writer says, love one another, pray for one another, forgive one another, encourage one another. And in here, it is honor one another. Another way of putting it would be to say, honor others more than you do yourself. See in others, respect in others, a gifting beyond your own. See in others acts of courage or love or compassion that you aspire to. Work hard to spot the talent, the gifting, the beauty, the sheer peace that they bring. The RSV, the Revised Standard Version, puts it like this: outdo one another in showing honor. And the reason why it puts it that way is because in the original Greek, it's not quite clear whether it talks about simply honor one another or get into competition with one another to be even more honoring of others. If you've got a brother or a sister, I wonder what kind of relationship you had as you were growing up. Was there a competitive element to what you did? Always wanting to outdo the other, to be the most talented, to be the one that got the most certificates, or to be the one that was always up front doing the show to the rest of the family. And there might be all sorts of jockeying for position, but here Paul says, okay, brothers and sisters in Christ, by all means be in competition with each other, but the competition is this: outdo one another in showing honor for each other. You be the one that gives even more honor to others in your family, not just your birth family, but also in your Christian family too. Give preference to one another. Outcompete them for honor. Now, we honor what we value and what we appreciate. And so to give honor to somebody is to value and appreciate them. And we know that we are made by God, and therefore we are owned by Him too. And we've spoken recently about the fact that you and I are made in the image of God. We are image bearers of the divine. That means you are beautifully, powerfully, wonderfully made. Glorious. King David in the Psalms puts it like this, Psalm 8, verse 5. You have made them, as in us, a little lower than the angels, only a little bit lower, and crown them, us, with glory and honor. Every human being is worthy of honor. Every single human being. Not just the ones that we like, not just the ones that wear the same football shirt that we wear, but everybody, every human being, no matter where they have been, what their story is, where their place of birth was, what their economic capacity is, everybody is deserving of honor. I love the way that the writer of the Hebrews can't actually remember where that darn verse in the Psalms comes from. Do you ever have that? Well, you know there's a scripture, you can hear it in your head, but you just can't quite remember where it was. Well, you're in a good place, because the Hebrews writer has the same and even put it into the scriptures. So the Hebrew writer, quoting Psalm 8, verse 5, you've made them a little lower than the angels, crowned them with glory and honor, writes this: but there is a place where someone has testified. What is mankind that you are mindful of them, a son of man that you are crowned for them? You have made them a little lower than the angels. You have crowned them with glory and honor. Even the writer of the Hebrews can't remember the scripture where it comes from, but he knows the truth. Wow. How much are you worth? I'll tell you. You are worth the life of Christ. For God so loved the world that he gave what was most precious to him, his one and only son, that whoever should believe in him should not perish but have eternal life. Wow. Somebody has gone ahead of you who thought you were worth dying for in order that you might have the life that he wants for you. So we honour one another. Now we're going to change slight tack, but with the same theme. A couple of weeks ago, we commemorated as society the 75th anniversary of the liberation of concentration camps at Auschwitz and Birkenau. And if we think back to the Holocaust, the Shoah, we are reminded of the utter, utter horrors of what humanity is capable of doing to other human beings. So just to refresh us, we know this, but just to remind us, 6 million people of Jewish faith killed. At the time, that was 2/3 of all Jewish people in the whole of Europe killed. It was 1/3 of the entire Jewish population in the whole globe killed. And the reason why the Jewish faith has such a smaller population these days is because it takes generations to recover from the effects of that. Of those 6 million who were killed, over 1 million were children. Babies and children killed simply because of their religion, their faith. And we know that also, it was not only Jewish people, but actually in total, 11 million people were killed. Those of Slovak birth in Estonia, Ukraine, and so forth. People that were considered disabled, the terminally ill, political activists, religious opponents, those who were outed as being gay. Wow. And for them, they were denied their humanity. They ceased to be considered human at that time. Because you don't do those kind of things to human beings. Humans don't do that to humans. Until you twist the narrative and you start to deny people's humanity and you start talking about them in non-human ways. And this then happens. So they're forced from their homes, from their countries, and transported in barbaric conditions that you wouldn't even put an animal in. Well, you don't have to worry about that because they're not human beings. They're Jewish. They're not human beings. They're gay. They're not humans. They are disabled. Wow. Some forced to work in impossible, vile conditions. Others simply put to death on arrival in these camps. And it's easy sometimes to, for me, who I don't come from Jewish descent in terms of my birth family. And it's easy for me sometimes to forget the horrors and to become so familiar with the story and the telling of it that I forget sometimes the utter level of barbarity. And so it's helpful to have these anniversaries to be reminded. But imagine if I was born into a Jewish family. What stories would have been passed on? Now, I'm 51. I know you think I'm 25, but I'm 51. My mum is 82. That means she was born in 1936. My mum is old enough to have been in the Holocaust, to either been killed in the Holocaust, in which case no Danny, to survive the Holocaust, and then passed on the stories. Many of you are old enough to have been in an age where you too could have actually been in the Holocaust. So you imagine those of Jewish descent, how they process the horrors in such a short period of time in their family histories, where they talk about it, maybe painfully so, the memories living on. And the Holocaust inevitably makes us feel uncomfortable. We don't like talking about it. We'd rather it hadn't happened, of course. But all of that happens not by just one or two rogue individuals. You don't transport 11 million people on your own. You do so by dehumanizing and then drawing others in. Whole nations, whole industries of people then getting involved too, who make the trains, who drive the trains, who make the chains, who invent the gas, who do all sorts of different things. They're getting more and more involved. And sometimes we even have to be honest enough to say that even some of the products that we use today have their origins or have their history during the Holocaust. Some of our clothing brands, the cars that we drive, even the medication or the medical treatments that we benefit from today, for some of them have some implication of what was done during that time. And it makes us feel awkward. And we say, I can't turn the clock back. No, we can't. But what we can do is honour those who went before us and honour their story and remember what they went through in order that it doesn't happen again. Honour one another above yourselves. Make sure you win the race to honour others. Now, the other reading we had earlier on comes from the Exodus. And we were reminded there that 1,300 years before Christ, the Hebrews had also faced brutal conditions. They too have been taken into slavery, forced into forced labor in brutal conditions, many of them dying too. But liberation was going to come. A death cloud was going to pass over them. And as long as they celebrated, had the Passover meal, they too would be, they would survive. And the Hebrews were told specifically by God, tell your story. Tell the story. Don't let your next generations forget what you went through. Tell the story. So it's absolutely right that we recognize Holocaust Memorial Day. It's absolutely recognize we remember some of the history that we have been through. Tell your story and your kids' story and your kids' kids and so forth. Where they came from, what they went through. Let each generation honour their story, because their story became God's story. And it's now our story, because every time we share communion together, we are remembering and reenacting the Passover meal. It becomes our story too. So we listen to people's stories. We listen to where they've come from, what they have been through. Not because we can turn the clock back, but because we can honour them. Honour their memory, honour what their experience was, and prefer them above ourselves. And we might then say that 200 years ago, now I'm talking two, three generations and beyond from me, where people again were taken from their homelands, taken against their will, transported in, again, dire conditions, to a land that was not their own, forced into work, into slavery, for the benefit of others. How did that happen? By the same dehumanizing language. The moment somebody starts talking about human beings, beautifully, wonderfully made in God's image, as if somehow they are not humans, that's how these things happen. And whether it's the Exodus 1,300 years before Christ, whether it's the Holocaust 75 years ago, or whether it is slavery that happened, taking people from Africa to the Caribbean and the Americas 200 years ago. It has the same effect. And it has the same uncomfortable feeling for us too, that we too sometimes struggle with. And we say, I can't turn the clock back. Even though we sometimes are the beneficiaries of some of those actions. And it's no coincidence that countries in Africa, rich in resources, then become struggling. Why? Because of what took place 200 years ago. We can't turn the clock back, but we can honour what the people have been through, and we can respect what they have been through and prefer them more than ourselves. Make sure you win the race to honour others. Honour one another above yourself. The challenge for us is that history keeps repeating itself. And so after the Second World War, when Britain needed more people back in this country, and we invited others to come, they came, not because of the weather, they came with optimism and belief. And even within the church, the Christian church, that you would have expected, brothers and sisters, love one another, brothers and sisters, honour one another, met with a frosty welcome. Suspicion, misunderstanding, rejection. Where is the gospel in that? And again, we can't turn the clock back, but we can say, honor one another. Hear each other's stories. Hear where people have been, what they have been through, what's in their family history. And just as we might say to those of Jewish descent, we wouldn't say, well, don't stop talking about the Holocaust. It makes us feel uncomfortable. No, we need to hear people's stories. And just as the Exodus with the Hebrews, tell your story. Don't let generations forget. Tell it from your children and your children and your children's children. So we too need to hear one another's stories. The great thing is, as a church, we know a thing or two about this. But we want to do so much more. What we don't want to be is a church that dishonors. We want to be a church that honors God and honors everybody else for what they've been through. And what Paul is saying here is follow the example of Christ. He writes in Philippians chapter 2, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others before yourselves. Their story is more than your story. Not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of others. What a revolution that would be if we all did the same. All took the opportunity to prefer one another, listen to one another, honor one another. What a growing community that would be. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus. In other words, this isn't some kind of human response. This is a God thing in Christ Jesus, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Honor one another, because that's the God thing. That's what God does in Christ Jesus. Be really suspicious when you see language that denies people's humanity. And there's lots of it about at the moment. The media's full of it. Social media is absolutely rife with it. Politicians are spreading it. And when that happens, within a generation or two, things that we've seen in the past happen again. Because you don't do that kind of stuff to humans. You could only contemplate in doing that to things that are trash. Don't call trash what God calls beautiful, bearers of his image. And just to end with, the Message puts our reading from Romans chapter 12 like this. Love from the center of who you are. Don't fake it. Run for dear life from evil. Hold on for dear life to good. Be good friends who deeply, deeply love. Practice playing second fiddle. Isn't that a beautiful way of putting it? That's what we do. So let's hear each other's stories. Let's celebrate where people have come from. Your story, my story, our story together. But let's make sure that we always, always prefer one another's stories to our own. Because that is what being a growing community is all about. Let's pray.